We can call this meeting to order at 5:35.
Okay.
All right. Got it.
What's up, Kevin?
Nothing.
All
How are you
right.
guys doing?
The following topic should not be discussed before, during, or after this meeting: prices charged for collision damage repairs, minimum or desired profit levels, repair time practices or charges, division of markets or territories, specific business practices of particular collision repair shops, suppliers, or insurance companies, refusal to do business with particular shops, suppliers, or insurance companies. If there is a violation, that person will be asked to immediately stop the conversation. If the conversation continues, that person will be muted by the host and immediately escorted out of the meeting. Further, all participants are herein notified that the materials presented herein are not to be construed as information or direction to take any concerted actions. The information can be utilized by individuals acting within their own judgment, making sound business decisions without agreement with other participants of this meeting. Each person should consult his or own legal advisor about requirements and any rules regarding antitrust or other applicable laws.
Thank you. Okay, roll call. Matt.
Here.
Doug Bijin.
Here.
Thank you. Don Dowling.
Here.
Dana Snowdale. Brian Bernard.
Here.
Dan Wenzel.
Here.
Kevin Gallerani.
Here.
Guy.
Yes, sir.
And myself. So right now we're just missing Dana. Okay, Guy, you're on, bud.
All right. Thank you, Luck. I guess first, I just probably would like to start off with just mentioning the Senator Mike Moore event from earlier in the last month. I thought it was a very successful event, but I want to just give a shout out to obviously Lucky and Brian Bernard and Doug Bijin, and also I believe Mike Panaccio was there as well.
Pinacho, yep.
Panaccio, sorry, some Portuguese names. Let me just say that, MABA was well represented. We were all there. I think, and again, I don't want to talk for the group, but Brian, Lucky can pipe in. But we had some good conversations with both Senator Mike Moore and Chairman Rodericks, and I was really happy that during Chairman Rodericks, he was the keynote speaker. He actually gave a shout out to the Mass Auto Body guys and the good job they've done with working with his office and being visible. So again, I think that's just another example of, growing. I don't want to say clout, but at least, being at the table and being recognized as a player at the table. And believe me, there's a lot of special interest there. But the fact that Chairman Rodericks single us out, I thought was definitely a good sign and a coming of age sign, to say the least. So again, thank you to those four individuals for being there. Also, thank you for the other people that donated. It all helps move the ball forward. On my next topic, which kind of goes into this topic a little bit, is just the labor rate update. I think Senator Rodericks had an opportunity to tell Brian Bernard, if not the group, but I know he mentioned to me as well that he's working on something in the budget. He's extremely secretive about it. Says it won't be a cure-all, but there's a method to his madness, and he thinks it will significantly help improve that the labor rate in and of itself. So I can't comment too much because I just don't know. That's the truth. If I did know, I'd tell you. I'll tell you, I couldn't tell you, but I have no idea. He's keeping it very close to the vest. I don't know, Brian, did you want to? I think you said he mentioned something to you at the fundraiser. Is that basically the same message that you received from him?
Verbatim, the same message. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll be watching that closely. The Senate, the House will be doing their budget next week, I believe, and the Senate will be doing theirs probably the first week of May. As soon as that comes out, I'll obviously get it to the board and get it to Lucky and Brian so we can see what the hell it is. However, again, we have to continue the strategy that we talked about last month of making sure we're reaching out to our state senators and asking them to be supportive of anything Chairman Rodericks can do with regard to the labor rate bill. I've talked to a couple of senators since the last Zoom meeting. One was Senator John Cronin, and the other was Mike Moore, which is kind of a no-brainer, but both said that they would bring it up to Chairman Roderick's at their meeting. Every senator has a meeting with the chairman of Ways and Means regarding legislative priorities. I have not talked to other members. I know, I think we're trying to focus on Joanne Comerford. I think Matt was going to reach out to her, and I think we had asked to see if Kevin could reach out to Dylan Fernandez, but just curious, Lucky, how those calls are going and if we're still making them.
Well, we put a letter out, email out to all the members of the board to reach out. I haven't heard much coming back. I'll resend that again tomorrow, stressing the importance of it.
Okay.
I had exchanged some emails with Dylan Fernandez, and good. He said that he was absolutely going to do that. So
good. I mean, the good thing is there's something coming up because Mike Roderick's already told us that. But again, the more senators he hears from, I think the more emboldened he can be, but also more importantly is his boss, Senate President Spilka. So we want to make sure that this isn't just one or two rogue senators that are looking for this, but rather a significant, if not a majority, of the state Senate is advocating for this increased labor rate. So if you haven't made those calls, especially I'm mad, not to single you out, but Joanne Comerford is kind of key in all this, one being a woman and two sitting so close to Karen Spilker. I'd probably say she's in the top five people that have Spilker's ear. So that would be a great one if you have a chance to talk to her about just working with Roderick's to help address the issue.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get out to Ashland tomorrow or Wednesday at the latest with the shop that's in Spilka's district to see if he'll do a host a get together there.
Great. The other big news that's kind of developed over the last couple of weeks is just, you know, reaching out to the new chairman of the ADALB board. Lucky probably informed everyone that the chairman did say he'd be willing to meet with us. I think Lucky was trying to put that meeting together before the next ADALB board, but regardless whether it's before or after, I think it's paramount that we get that meeting and have that meeting. And more importantly, we kind of focus on messaging for that meeting. You know, I talked to Lucky last week. We talk a lot. You know, he'd asked me my idea, what I thought of inviting the new chairman of the ADALB board to our general membership meeting, which is April 2nd, which is on my schedule. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be there. I can't stay late. I've got something late afternoon, early evening, but I'll obviously be there right at 1 o'clock. But, you know, I just wanted to throw out to the board what they thought about inviting the chairman. I think it's more important we have a meeting with the chairman down in Boston. You know, my concern with, and I think it's a good idea, but my concern is, you know, we really want to kind of fine tune the messaging rather than having, you know, 100 different auto body guys telling them 100 different things about what works and what doesn't work. I'd rather have a more concise, focused message to the chairman from us, from the executive board. But two, my other concern is talking to Lucky is that there seems to be a low attendance rate. So I'm a little concerned that, you know, if we have a record low attendance, it kind of makes our association look like there's not a lot of people or members or advocacy. And I certainly don't want it to work against us. So I'm open to having him come to the meeting, but I just want to make sure that one, we control the messaging. And I think the most important thing is securing that date with him down in Boston so three or four of us can go down there and have a very good, solid meeting with him. But, you know, again, I'll open it up to what the board wants to do, if they want to invite him to the general membership meeting or not.
Yeah, I mean, I have the same concern. I think it would be a poor reflection. My guess is, though, if we invite him, my guess would be that he wouldn't be attending. So it would at least be a good presentation to have made the invitation, and then, you know, if he does accept, we can really scramble and push to get people in the room in some fashion.
Well, it might work to get people there too. I mean, I think a lot of people would be there, but my concern is, again, I don't want 100 different messages, you know, going through the hall talking to our members.
Right.
I want to control that, and I think the most important thing is securing this meeting. So I don't want him to be like, well, I won't do the meeting, but, you know, I'll show up for dinner and talk to these guys generally. No, I think the more important thing is that we have an introductory meeting with him, give them our perspective, the history, what our hopes are, and have a controlled message. So I think, in my opinion, we have to have a confirmed meeting with him first before we even invite him to the ADL. I'm sorry, before we invite him to the general membership meeting, because that's the more important meeting out of the two, in my opinion. But again, I take my marching orders from the board.
I don't know if anybody wants to chime in on what your thoughts are.
I agree with that too, Guy.
I agree. I think we got to set the table before, yeah, you know, when it comes to eat.
Okay, you kind of talked over each other. So you're both in agreement that we shouldn't invite him? Don't invite him. Okay. And then,
let's meet him first.
Yeah. All right. What about the commissioner of insurance? Because I was going to include him and or deputy commissioner Dylan Colby in that invite. Can we take a chance on asking them? Same thing. I really doubt they're going to accept, but at least there's the good hand put forward that we invited them.
What do we have for numbers right now?
We have 33.
And did we, not to get off subject, but did we send out the email for that invitation? Do we have that link?
Yes.
That people can sign up for free?
Well, we sent it out to the e-board.
Right.
And we'll send it out to the board of directors as well. We wanted to see how it was going. I know Doug made some visits using it. No one's bitten on his visits as of yet.
Okay.
The only person that we've got on the free invite is I signed Guy up using the link just to make sure that it would work.
And by the way, I won't be there for dinner, so it's not free.
I think we wait to see if we can get more people in the room before we start inviting people that it might make us look bad if we don't have people in the room.
Well, the other side of it, too, is if you do a last-minute invite, that doesn't look good either. I mean, we're looking at 16 days out as of today.
I mean, even a week.
Wait till Friday?
Yeah, let's try to fill. I mean, right, we got to get people there.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, I'm all right, too, if we wait a week, Don, like you said, because I think it just shows that there's goodwill. You know, like, I think it shows the commissioner, hey, these guys, you know, they're thinking about inviting me, and that's goodwill and good communication, and I appreciate the invite, even though I agree with Lucky, he probably won't show up. But I don't see the harm in him knowing that we invited, you know, we extended the olive branch and wanted him to come by as our guest.
Yeah, it's the thought that matters.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll plan on that, then. I'll figure it out on Friday.
Yeah, and Lucky, you can always, if you do invite him, you don't have to tell him it's our annual membership. You know, you could just tell him that we're having a membership meeting and he's welcome to come by. So you don't have to build expectations that there's 100 people there. Just say, hey, we have a membership meeting coming up in person. We usually do Zooms, but we thought, you know, we like to mix it up and have it in person. If you'd like to come by as our guest and have something to eat, more than welcome.
All right. Yeah. Take the shine off it a little bit.
Sure. I do want to revisit, or I guess we don't have to talk about it now, but if and when we get that confirmed meeting with the new chair of the ADALB board, I'd like to have a specific meeting with the executive board just to fine-tune our messaging. I think it's very, very important that, you know, we come across as professional. You know, the other side's always trying to paint us as, you know, critics and, you know, adversarial on nuisances and little things. You know, I really want to make sure that we make a good impression, but more importantly, we're in sync and unified on what our message is when we talk with the new chairman. I think it's important we go in there with two or three things, not 14 or 15 things, and, you know, dilute the whole messaging. But again, you guys figure out what the most important thing is, but about being fair and just in hearing our complaints, I guess, would be paramount to that meeting.
Okay. I did, you know, you and I spoke earlier. He had indicated he would get back to me, but you suggest that I just touch base with him and just as a tickler type email?
Yes, absolutely. Just say just following up and, you know, we're hoping to schedule something within the next month or so, just again as a courtesy introductory meeting for several members of the executive board and, you know, and our, you know, president to come by and say a few words. Okay. Or to meet him. you know.
Yeah. Okay.
And other than that, you know, I just wanted to talk about the general membership meeting, just too, if, you know, again, we can make a plea for a PAC donation. If we can, you know, maybe ask everybody for $100 or $200 donation or whatever you guys think is right and just. But we have an election year coming up. You know, we haven't had a statewide election in 4 years. So, you know, we have our friends like Diana DeSaglio and all kinds of statewide races, not to mention, you know, 200 legislative races, which by no means are we contributing to 200 or 100 or even 50. But, you know, we do have to make sure that our allies, and luckily we have significant amount now in both the House and the Senate, but, you know, the Tacky Chans and the Paul Feeneys and those type of people, we have enough money to support their reelection and show a message that if they're with us, we're with them. So I want to make sure we do a little bit of a pack push. I'm happy to talk about that, Lucky, you know, at the April 29th meeting. You know, if you guys would like me to, I'm happy to give a pitch for that. But I think it's important that we put a little peer pressure. Everybody brings a check and makes a donation. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we don't need a lot of money, but, you know, we need, I'd say at least $6,000 or $7,000. If we can put that together, that should get us to next January, which, you know, really through the election cycle in November is important.
Yeah, I'm planning on putting out a request probably a week before the event to anyone who has registered, and then we'll do a statewide solicitation as well. But I want to use the excerpts from Feeney's comments at our previous meeting talking about the fact that, hey, our voices are being heard, that we're having an impact, and, you know, and again, stress the fact that we need to keep that momentum going.
Absolutely. No, I think that's important. And obviously, you know, it's a new day and age with a new chairman of the ADALB board. But more importantly, you know, we have more legislation coming at us through Senator Roderick's and through the budget, and, you know, all hands on deck with the legislative election coming up. And speaking of which, I know many of you have come to my annual event, but I just set the date for that. If you want to put it in your calendar book, it's going to be Friday, July 10th for my annual Mike Roderick's event at my house in Yarmouth. I think that could be a very good meeting to, or a very good party to be at, considering he'll be dropping something on our lap a month or two before that event. So give us some time to come by and, you know, talk to him about it, the good, the bad, the ugly. But at least thank him for moving the ball forward and give him any comment we have on whatever he's got, you know, up his sleeve. But again, that's Friday, July 10th. I think it will be 6 to 8 at my house. I'll send the board an invitation, and anybody, any other members, Lucky, I know you've kind of helped in the past with people like towards Barnstable, Plymouth, that area.
Yeah.
Inviting them and getting a good crowd there. Okay. But that's it. As soon as I hear anything more, I'll let the board know about what Senator Roderick's has planned. And as soon as you get a date from the new chairman, Lucky, if you can let me know so I can get it in my calendar book and we can schedule a meeting with the board to discuss, that would be great.
Yeah, and chances are, I mean, he even mentioned that it may even be a Zoom. I'd much rather be eyeball-eyeball, but we'll see.
Yeah, tell him we prefer, you know, we don't mind going into Boston, and we know it's important. You know, it shows our commitment to meeting with him.
Yeah.
But certainly I'll take a Zoom over nothing, so that's fine.
Okay.
All right. Anything else for me?
Thanks, guys.
All right, Tom. Have
a good thank meeting. You, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Chad.
Okay.
Just, all right, Secretary Port.
Just for Alana.
3936.
Hold on just for a second. Oh. Just for Alana's benefit, I just want to acknowledge the fact that Dana has signed in. I think he's the iPhone that's there.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, okay.
Secretary Port, if you guys had a chance to review it, I actually did review it. It looks legit. but if you guys have any questions, or if you guys are good, make a motion to accept it.
Doug will
make a motion to accept the minutes.
Brian. That was Brian. That's for both the e-board and board of directors.
Correct.
Was there a second?
Doug will second.
Second.
Doug Bijan, thank you. Anybody opposed? So moved. All right, Dana, Treasurer's Report.
Can you hear me? I'm having trouble freaking turning my mic on.
No, we can hear you. We can hear you. Oh, it just went off.
Shit.
It's on now. We can hear you.
Okay. Did everybody get a chance to look at the Treasurer's Report? If you want, I can go over it real quick. We took $1,725 in the lobby account. We took $374.04 in interest income in the money market account. We took in $1,028 in the credit card income. We took $52.12 on miscellaneous income. We took in $23,500 in sponsorship income. We took in $1,800 in event income, $500 in the PAC contributions, and $2,485 for the appraisal course for a total of $45,864.16. And our expenses for the month were $18,531.41, as outlined in the March 26th profit and loss statement. Any questions? Did anybody hear any of that?
Yes, we did. Thank you.
Oh, Jesus.
Motion to accept if anybody has any doesn't have any questions.
Don will accept the treasurer's report.
Brian will second that.
Brian Bernard, thank you. Anybody opposed? Okay.
So just note of interest. So it looks like our money market account is starting to go down. It was like in the $450 change when we started. Now it's dropped down to $374 in interest. So I guess
the interest rate's
coming down, but I don't see it going down on the borrowing end of it. Just my point. All right. That's all I got.
Okay. Okay. Executive Director's Report. A lot of what I've got, obviously, I'll be covering in the other sections, but anybody have a chance to look at Alana's administrative report? Any questions there? If not, we'll get down into the meat and potatoes during the legislative and rest of the
Lucky, we have Caribbean from December. I've called them, but he hasn't called me back. Have you spoke with him, Jose?
I haven't. I'm going to be up on the North Shore. I'll stop in to see him.
When are you coming up? And why?
Yeah, it probably won't. It'll be the week after next. I'm sorry. Next week. I'm gonna try to schedule it to come up.
I won't be around, but I was going to say we could do a drive-through or whatever, but yeah. I'm going away. Okay. All right. I think he'll sign up. You just got to get a hold of him.
Yep. Okay. I think a guy that used to paint for me still works for him, so I'll reach out to him too.
Okay.
He's got a little bit of pull with him. And you said his son doesn't work with you anymore, right?
No, he doesn't. Yeah, he's long gone.
Long gone. Yeah. Okay. All right. Any other questions on Alana's report? Okay, so we'll hold any motions until we get through the rest of this. Legislative report, Brian.
Meeting with the SAO audit team. So Lucky and Don and myself attended a Zoom with the state auditor's office. They had, what did they have, six auditors on that call, yeah. I believe it was.
Yeah,
and much of the dialogue was kind of managed by Mary Ann and kind of, you know, leading us down the path. But I think that the conversation went pretty well. They were interested, gave us a lot of opportunity to explain the issues that we're having, the types of issues. And I could see their heads nodding, you know, as they were getting and understanding some of our points. So I think that, you know, they know what's important to us. And they're going to continue their deep dive from an audit process into what's going on behind that scene. So again, I think that was a pretty positive meeting overall. Legislative status, not previously covered in Guy's report. No other major changes. I think Guy kind of covered everything. Let's see, ADALB meeting on May 12th in Boston. So we'll make that announcement for the meeting for next week. Safe repairs and no accident campaign update. The Channel 7 news, they came to my shop about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. They actually dialed us up because they were working on a story about total losses and the increased frequency of total losses. Unfortunately, they're not really taking too much of the bait to talk about labor rate. So I had another conversation with her today, the reporter, and she's going to talk to her producer, quote unquote, about maybe doing a different segment that's going to be on the labor rate stuff, because there's lots of content there, especially given that we just had another, you know, third advisory board slash commission just complete. So anyway, we'll see if anything comes of that. She thinks that there's some interesting stuff there, but I think she's putting me off by saying I'll have to talk to my producer, right? So that's what I got going on there. No other stories that I was aware of hitting any of the press over the last couple of weeks since those couple of editorials that Lucky's has been picked up. But yeah, just trying to get, you know, more info out there.
We did do those two interviews for
podcast, right?
Podcast.
Yep.
So as soon as those get aired, we'll share those with everybody so that they have the links to them and they can use them as they would like to at their shops and whatnot.
Right.
I thought it went pretty well, the discussion I had with the gentleman.
Yeah. I thought the guy was a good interviewer and kept things moving right along. So.
Yeah, and it's short and sweet. I think mine was like 12 or 13 minutes, something in that area.
Right.
Okay. I did just as a follow-up, so Don and Brian know, I did reach out to Mike Parsons at Service One Financial, and he did send me an update. There was only one other meeting since then that there were complaints discussed. So I've updated. I've got a spreadsheet that I'm going to send to the lead of that. I put a text out to Marianne to let me know who that gentleman specifically, his email address. I want to make sure I send it to him as the lead, and then I'll put everybody else on it.
Good.
So. Okay. Okay. So under old business, I did attend the Northeast Trade Show. I bumped in a few people from Massachusetts. It was kind of like mixed messaging from the different vendors there. I was in a lot of seminars and meetings, so I didn't really get to walk the floor that much. When I would go out on the floor, there was decent traffic, but not a lot. I know that Mark Davis from Shamrock Sales was very discouraged about the turnout at the show. Haven't really spoken to Tom about it to see what their overall numbers were. I guess they were down a little bit, but next year is their 50th anniversary, so they're looking to do a big show next year, really promote it and really get on it, and hopefully have a bigger turnout for that event. I know they did use it. I haven't had a chance to catch up with Ken Miller. They also used the show as a try to do a membership drive. They were offering a discounted amount for people to join. I don't know how, how that turned out for them. They had, you know, people walking the show and getting people to come to the booth and trying to get them to sign up to be members of AASP New Jersey. All right, so we touched on the general membership meeting. Like I said, right now we're at 33 paid attendees. We've got a few sponsors. Doug did visit some shops, and he was going to send over a spreadsheet with who those shops were, and I was going to make follow-up calls. I haven't seen that that spreadsheet as of yet. I also visited a few shops and put out invitations. I tried getting members to come by making phone calls. I'm sending out thank you notes to people who have been renewing their membership, and I'm including the flyer for the event as well, trying to solicit them to come to the meeting as well. I don't know what other effort we can put in at this point. I'm open to suggestions other than paying people to come. I don't know what else we can do besides giving it away for free. I don't know what else to say on it, to be honest with you. I'm pretty discouraged about it.
Well, it is a real problem.
Yep.
That we can't get members to show up for a meeting.
Yep. You know, that's why I'm hesitant as far as I brought up the subject of maybe not putting the invite out to the chairman of the ADLB. You know, I think Matt used the terminology an echo chamber. We don't want to be in an echo chamber and have that person be in the room with us. So hopefully things are going to turn around over the next 16 days with the effort that we're going to put in. There's still an awful lot of board members that haven't signed up either. So I'm going to put out another email tomorrow. And basically just, I'm only going to send it to those board members that have not signed up yet, obviously. And go from there. Everybody seems a little down about it, worse than I am. You know, I don't know.
There's no battle or issues that we could kind of get everybody to come together on, you know, whether it's total loss issues or them trying to get Replevins, or, you know, we need a disruption.
I don't think it's our fault, or I know you're taking on the chin a little bit. Like, the Northeast Trade Show had low numbers. I think it's just, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
So
I think everybody's just trying to hold their own and friggin' get through the shit that they got going on.
Well, I know that even CIC, Jordan Hendler, has been putting out messages trying to get people to come to their show at the end of the month down in the Carolinas. From what I gather, the reception there has been really, really poor as well. And there's a trade show associated with it, but even the CIC attendance is way, way off. You know, she was begging people to take the hotel rooms that they had set up for the event.
I bet the insurers will be there.
Probably.
They're not struggling.
Yeah, exactly.
How's the census out there? You guys jam-packed busy? You guys trying to... I mean, we've been basically having record months, but that's just me in a small shop, you know?
Pretty busy.
Yeah, we got busier. We were slow. January was the worst month I think I've had in 6 years. But now we're back to normal, so.
Yeah, we're steady.
I would say steady, but the fight to get to the end.
Yeah.
You know,
every job seems to be a fist fight trying to get to the end.
It's worse than I can remember. I guess, again, you fight these fights and then you realize that, like, you did all this again before, and then you're just doing it again. Like, oh, I had a year or two where none of this was a problem, and then it's all a problem again.
Yeah,
I'm on supplement 7 with the Liberty claim, so that's cool. They still won't make a click. Yeah,
I had a
I had a progressive adjuster in my shop for 2 full days totaling a truck. Two full days.
Sounds about right. I'm like, that's cost containment, Dana. That's what that is.
Yeah. Well, when it's slow for them, you know, they get to drag all that out and take their time.
I can tell you it is not slow for progressive, and they still drag it out.
And both mine we have
like 10 progressive claims almost at all times in our shop, and they will you'll put, as we all know, I'm probably preaching to the choir, but you can put in 5 supplements in one day and you'll get 4 different appraisers coming. Like it's complete, like an utter waste of money. You'll have a supervisor show up with one of them. Like there'll be so many people that they're throwing at like one job that takes them one guy a half a day to write, that it's laughable the amount of money. And you know, it all harkens back to that idea that, like, you know, this is the money that they're spending of their own customers in order for what? To like prove that they're not a bunch of people stealing money out here fixing cars.
Yeah.
This guy, I wrote it as a total loss. We started out as a total loss, but he had to justify everything that he was writing on it. I'm like, you're not building a contract of repair. You're just totaling the truck and make it go away. It's like, oh, I got to cross my T's and dot my I's. He's only been an appraiser for a short while, but still.
Yeah, so you're doing.
Doesn't matter. I mean, they have an authorization that they're able to write to. So every shitty progressive appraiser starts off with $5,000. They're allowed to write up to $5,000.
So there's a headline.
Then that
right?
$5,000 goes to $8,000. Then that $8,000 goes to $10,000, and no one, I don't think, ever gets over $10,000 in authorization. And they have to do everything through a, you know, whatever you consider their next level boss. And it's a joke. And I mean, and if you're a shop like us, like it's like every job has that boss on it, you know, and it just becomes like, I don't know. It just becomes tedious.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do it.
Parker Riley, who went from.
Not anymore.
He dropped down to be a regular road appraiser. He said, I was nothing but a babysitter. If I didn't hear my edict to me from my boss is, if I didn't hear from somebody by 8:30, I had to find out where they were on the phone. And then they have to check in with me, you know, throughout the course of the day. He says that it's not, you know, what it should be. It's all I was a glorified babysitter and trying to hold their hand over the phone to write an estimate. He said it was ridiculous. So he just said it wasn't worth it for him anymore.
I say we do like City Auto Body used to do. You take their phone, their camera, and leave it in the office, and then go out and negotiate the repairs on the thing until you get an agreed figure. Then you let him take his pictures and whatnot.
you got to get the signed field notes.
Yeah.
And get your signed field notes before they go out to the car to get approval. It shouldn't be back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
But, I mean, it's impossible with progressive.
Yeah.
Come out. I'll let you do one with a progressive appraiser anytime you want.
Okay.
You will be dedicated to one car for the day. That a body shop cannot do that. It's impossible at $55 an hour that they're paying. It is impossible.
Yeah.
Especially if you have any kind of workforce. And that's what they want, because the MSO that is on their program doesn't have to do any of that. They just ship it up and they already have their parameters and they're writing to those parameters and that's it. And if they want to write from 5 different fucking used places, they can write from 5 different used places. You know, and if any shop's trying to protect their margin, they just give you a middle finger on anything. You can itemize everything down to an invoice from a jobber and they're still going to refuse it. And this is where we're at. I have invoices of scans that they've paid for the last 4 years. And just last week, they just switched me to paying 0.5, 0.5 for a scan. And they said every case, it's a case-by-case basis. Yet they're getting a scan invoice.
Are you using a pass-through device, Matt, or are you?
Yeah.
So you're actually
creating... Yeah, multiple. I mean, you can do anything you want. You can give them a third party. They want a third party now, is what they're saying. And a third party can't be a third party that you're using. They want a third party company doing the scan. So what is that?
Yeah, I mean, how do we take them to task on that other than just billing the customer the difference?
That's it. All it is that it's just like, I mean, again, I think Kristen is 50% right. But week after week after week, what you hear her say, the insurers aren't paying because they know we're all not charging.
Right.
Yep.
That's it. As soon as you start charging the customer, they start paying. That's what it is.
Yep.
But I apologize. There's a reason why I kept myself on mute for a while. It was basically this. I should go back on it so that
we liked when you were on mute.
My fucking mouth. I know. I liked myself better too when I didn't see my face.
And we were all kind of like blasé. So we need the fight.
Yep.
We need the fight, and we need to get riled up again because we're all just getting our asses handed to ourselves, I guess. So, all right, I'll stop. Moving on.
All right, we'll get off the general membership meeting. Membership drive, I have been out visiting some shops. As soon as we get by the general membership meeting, I want to be out on the road 2 to 3 days, and that's when I'm going to be setting up with the board of directors. The issue I have is on Tuesdays and Thursdays after the 21st of this month, I have to be there to teach the appraiser's course until it ends in the middle of May. But I'm definitely going to be out there. I know Kevin had mentioned that was one of the items that he wanted to have on the agenda. Also, I've just got done drafting an email to a new contact at iCar asking for a list. They in an article that they wrote in the Vendor Spotlight, they indicated they had over 100 iCar Gold shops, so I'm soliciting that list again from him. We have not gotten it from Jeff Peavy or from Tom McFinch. I don't know why they're reluctant to give it to us, but I'm sending that email out first thing in the morning to the new contact, thanking him for supporting through VAP and then trying to get that list from them, letting them know that we're going to focus in on getting customers aware of what it means to be an iCar Gold shop. We're going to have a dedicated list on our webpage. I'm working with Bill Enros with that. He cannot put a separate colored pin on the map that's on our website, but we can have a separate page that people are directed to if they want to find an iCar Gold shop, and we'll talk about the importance of being iCar Gold. There's also a video that talks about what it means to be an iCar shop and why training is important that we can attach to ours and also share it with our membership that are iCar Gold shops or on the road to gold. So that's where I'm working on that. As I mentioned, the motor vehicle damage appraisers course, after the 21st, I have to take over teaching that class in order to get them through the finish line. It's been going pretty well to this point. I already touched on the iCar and Jeff Peavy discussions and that we really haven't gotten much further with him. I am including him as a CC on the email to the new contact. It's been on a back burner. We haven't forgotten about it as far as the platforms that we're looking at to go to a automatic billing and managing the membership. But of course, you know, we've had other things that we've been looking at. So right now that's kind of on a back burner. Sean's going to write an article regarding the DOR and the sales tax issue. for his next article. He wrapped up this month with the part two of the antitrust discussion that he had in last month's edition. We did get a bill for our general liability coverage, and there was just the question of whether or not we wanted to take on the anti-terrorism addendum. I don't know if you guys had a chance to look that over.
I sent it
out last month.
I just say we just keep it as same as usual.
All right, do you want to make that a motion?
I'll make a motion just to keep it as previously written.
Don will second that.
Okay, anybody opposed? Okay, Dana, and you've got that invoice, right?
Yeah, when was that due?
It's not due until the 25th of next month.
Yeah, okay. I'll schedule it for payment then.
Okay, yeah, just take a look at that and set it up.
Hey, Lucky, okay. Real quick, that website that I was talking to you about the other day, Body Shopology, that shows you iCar classes, iCar Gold shops local to you, is up and running again.
Oh, it is?
It doesn't filter well. Basically, you can put in your zip code and it kind of just goes outward from there, so you can't like just type in Massachusetts shops or shops in Franklin, but you can put in zip codes and kind of go from there. I'm sure a report from iCar would be much better for what you're trying to do, but yeah, in the meantime, if you want to try that.
Yeah, because I want to make that, you know, hit the iCar Gold shops as part of the visits initially and try to get them on board, you know, offering the fact that they'll have separate listing on the membership page and things of that nature. So couple of things just to backtrack a little bit. I'm sorry, I should have mentioned it during Guy's report. I'm waiting for one last check to come in from Dean Luther. He showed me that he put it in the mail. I think it was on Saturday, so I should have it either tomorrow or Wednesday at the latest. So there's another $750 that we're going to be sending in to Senator Moore with an additional thank you letter for that. And that's all that I have under the old business, other than the item under letter I. I didn't know if we'd had any forward motion on that topic. I haven't heard anything, which is the retainer discussion, contract, et cetera.
Has this gone nowhere yet?
It's been on the... It's been out, and we had a tentative meeting. I got, I want to say, half response when I sent out an email. I'm not calling anybody out. Some people responded, some people didn't. Maybe you don't read my emails. It's fine. And then I kind of put it on the back burner, and I haven't done anything since. So I also sent some stuff for feedback. I don't think I ever got any response on that stuff. Yeah, it's just on me to handle it. And, you know, time is valuable. So I apologize it hasn't gotten done, and it is what it is. But we'll have to, you were on it. So
I didn't see much of a discussion on it.
It was just, when can people get on a meeting? And then
Matt, do you want to send something out tomorrow and to all of us, and then we'll respond.
I don't know about tonight, but do you guys have time for another, maybe we chat about it after we get Lucky off?
I can do that.
Executive session.
I can do that.
How close are we to being done?
I mean, we're all together right now.
We are close to being done. We just have new business.
Yeah.
And then the next meeting.
Let's run through the new business and try to get that done at the end, I guess.
Okay.
I don't have that much time, but.
All right. So the first item under new business was the additional guests and invitation of the general membership meeting. We already talked about the chairman for the ADLB. We'll wait until Friday as far as that. I'm going to do the follow-up email with him about our meeting with him directly. The DOI, as far as the commissioner and the deputy commissioner, I did invite Miata, Mass Independent Auto Dealers Association Executive Director, Bob Okanowski, and asked him to solicit his members. I sent him the flyer already. I did invite Jack Lamborghini and John Santilli and asked them to get the word out as well. And that was about it. I didn't know if there was anybody else that we could put the... Oh, and Mass Glass Association, I mentioned it to Peter Brown. And as far as Peter Brown goes and the Mass Glass Association, which is the next item on underneath new business, when he said become a subdivision, he meant work together. They're not looking to be absorbed into our association. I did find it interesting, though, they don't have an executive, not an executive, they don't have a lobbyist. So I was going to suggest maybe Guy reach out to them, you know, see if he can pick up another client, because, you know, we do have a lot of common interest and be talking to the same individuals as far as legislatively with leadership. So I'm going to suggest that Guy reach out to him and go there. Peter and I are supposed to talk on Wednesday. He's away on vacation until Wednesday is when he gets back. So I'll fill you guys in at that point, whatever else it is that he has to say. And then under new business, it was pointed out to me by an appraiser who works as an independent that, I don't know if anybody has noticed it, on Plymouth Rock estimates, when they write for an LKQ part, from, you know, a salvage yard, they'll pay you the cost of the part, let's say it's $200, and tax it, and then they give you the 25% markup on that part, but don't tax that. I don't know if anybody has seen it at all. I don't know if it's an individual.
I had seen it. I had actually always wanted to go and do a deep dive to figure out if that's the proper way or if there's some language about that, but I never really followed up. I've known it for years.
Oh, really? They've been doing it for years?
Yeah. Forever.
Really? Well, in my mind, I don't think it's anywhere near proper, because when you, unless you're only selling the LKQ part for what you took it in at, you're paying the sales tax on it, the marked up amount when you do your taxes at the end of the billing, right? When you bill out the event, the RO.
It depends how your final bill looks. So it's definitely worth looking into, but I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if there's some loophole. You know, our tax code is full of loopholes and horseshit.
Okay.
So, but I've never found it.
All right. I'll mention it to Sean as part of that DOR letter that he's going to be writing. I think it, you know, could dovetail right into it. By the way, when you mark, you know, you should be getting paid a sales tax on your markup. The sales tax is paid on the amount you sold the part for.
I have never noticed that, Brian, because we matched the estimate, and I've never, and that would screw up the whole matching process.
It should. That's
granted, it's hard doing Mitchell to CCC, but.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he said he's seen it for years. That, you know, this appraiser said that he had just noticed it.
Yeah.
As an independent, you know, he saw it and he questioned it. All right, I'll have Sean take a look at it and see what the tax ramifications are, or if they're, like you said, Brian, if there's a loophole or not. So the only other things then would be just to do a motion to accept the old business, new business, and my report.
I'll make a motion to accept old business, new business, and your report.
Kevin.
Second by Kevin.
Yeah, I beat you.
Okay. So the next board of directors, e-board meeting is tentatively scheduled for May 11th, and the board of directors is May 18th. Everybody is all set with those dates?
So lucky. I won't be able to do either one of them. I have it's Little League season, so... And I have games those nights.
Okay.
And I can't do next week either, but I already let you know that.
Yeah.
But I cannot do the 11th or 18th.
Okay, but it's because it's Monday nights, or it's those dates?
It's because it's Monday. It's We have games Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
And three out of the four, and it just so happens we have games on both Monday nights.
Okay.
And then we have practice on Tuesday nights, and I'm assistant coach, so.
All right, we can try to figure out what we want to do with that then. You guys.
I mean, that's just me that can't go, but.
Right.
And I can probably have it on mute until the game actually starts. Okay. So.
All right.
I want to focus on the kids, though. That's.
Yep, I hear you.
Yeah,
that's what you.
My son's more important than all of you guys put together.
Right.
Okay. Very true.
All right.
Annie's way funnier than anybody on this call, too, by the way.
And he's better looking because he has a full head of hair.
All right. So I don't know if you guys are going to be able to stay on. I think I can make somebody else
you should be able to make someone else the host.
Okay. Make Matt the host.
Okay, hang on a sec.
The hostess with the mostest. That's Matt.
Host tools?
Is it on? I feel like hostess is a fat joke, too, because it's related to Twinkies and shit. So
I mean, if it makes you feel bad, then I would certainly say I did that on purpose.
Yeah, I know you would endorse it. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Don's really trolling you with those hostess jokes, huh?
It wasn't. I made it. I made it a joke.
He made the joke.
And then, you know, well, first it was like the female version of host. That was the slight dig. And then, you know, then we took it to cupcakes and Twinkies. And
you took it there because you were thinking about cupcakes and Twinkies. Right.
I was actually thinking about the beer you were drinking because it feels like one of those days.
No, today was such one of those days.
You're slumming it with the sip, dude. You're like going back. It's like usually it's like something higher test than that for you.
I like the sips. I do the little sip after my big sip so then I don't get too shit-faced to go to bed. So, but I have espresso brewing, so I'm having espresso martinis after. It was a terrible day today, so.
Jesus, dude.
Take it easy.
To go to right before bed, huh?
I'm going to be sleeping. Well, I did decaf. I'm sleeping on the couch. I'm pointing over there because that's my couch because I know I'm going to be snoring like a motherfucker tonight because I'm going to be drinking so much. And I don't want to bother my wife, so.
You got to get a CPAP just for when you're cocked.
I just got it delivered to me on Sunday. Yesterday, I got it delivered.
Really?
Yep.
The snorkel?
Yes.
Yeah, man, I got the snorkel. It's the best thing ever.
It was the best thing, but it was like a black market one, and it turns out 500 people died because of it. So I had
the ones that had like the toxic chemicals in it. Like you like instantly got cancer.
Yeah, yeah,
that one's good.
So I got it from my mother.
Time out. Hold on, guys. Time out. All right, so let's do a motion to adjourn.
All right, Don will make the motion to adjourn.
Into an executive session, okay?
Session without Lucky.
Without me. And then a second by?
Dana.
Okay, and then
all in favor.
I don't see how to transfer the.
If you go down to, I think we're more in the bottom right.
Yeah, well.
There should be something there.
Transfer. You've done it before, Lucky.
Transfer the ownership? I don't think so.
Yeah. Of the meeting? I think that might be it.
We're all going to get deleted.
Well, no, what I was going to suggest is the link should still be good, and I didn't have to let any of you guys in. If I leave, it may shut off, but you can come back in on that same link.
All right, well, let's try it out. If it doesn't work, we'll figure it out.
All right, because I don't see...
You don't have to let people in, but you have to initiate the meeting, I think.
Yeah. No, you guys have talked without me joining in, right?
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, you probably just can't record it or whatever. That's all.
No.
You're still recording, too. It. Maybe stop the recording, Lucky, and see if that pops up.
Oh, okay.
Lucky's trying to record our executive mesh.
No, I'm